Good morning, Cornerstone. You guys ready to sing today? We're going to talk about courage. So I hope these first couple songs encourage you. Come thou fount, come thou king. Rise to your feet. Sing to the King of Kings, the fount of every blessing. Come thou fount
of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, all for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon.
I hope today is an encouraging day for you. These songs are meant to encourage, and this next song is it's called Who You Say I Am, and I think one of the hardest things that we face in life is really understanding who we are. And we have all these voices that have spoken to our minds, whether it's from ourselves or from other people, that tell us we're somebody, and God tells us we're somebody. So this song is really trying to drill that into us. Who does he say we are? And it makes a really big difference to be his. So hopefully this song will encourage you as you think about what you're going through and what's hard in your life and what's real. So this is real. This is who we are.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
sets free.
Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. God, we are so grateful for what you've done for us. God, that you decided to come into this world. You decided to step into this mess we made and come redeem and come rescue. God, it's so good to be known by you, to be loved by you, to be yours. So God, I pray those truths would sink into us today and you'd help us to understand it even more. God, that we'd just cry out with our hearts, we are a child of God, and that would make a difference. So God, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to your word, to your truth, to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you encouraged? Are those words encouraging? I hope so. All right, well, we have a question of the day. Make you think about something here. What is the greatest challenge or struggle you've ever faced? Kind of a deep one. You might have to think for a second. And it might be a long-term one or something just specific, like jumping off a cliff, but I don't know. Share that with somebody near you, and kids third grade and below can go downstairs to their classes. All right. Well, I want to start my message today. We're talking about courage. I already shared that with you. I just want to start with this prayer from this bookmark. This is part of our Old Testament reading. These came with each of those devotional guides. I just want to pray the prayer on this bookmark from Colossians chapter 1 as we get started. Lord, as we read your word today, fill us with the knowledge of your will. Give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Guide and empower us to live lives pleasing to you. And God, as we go about the week, help us to bear fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of you.
Give us endurance, patience, and joyful thanks to you who've made us part of your great story and a recipient of your greatest blessing. And may all this be done through the power of Jesus in us. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. We've made it through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and now we're into Joshua. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may succeed wherever you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. 3 times he says it. Joshua is facing something pretty intimidating. And there are times that we face uncertainties in our lives that terrify us. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know what's ahead. We don't get this home video that shows us our future. We don't have that. So we don't know how things are going to work out, if we'll be accepted if we try this thing, or if it will be successful, if we will be okay. We don't know. I went skiing with a friend at Bear Creek a couple weeks ago. I have permission to share the story. Most of the trails were open, so we're skiing all over the mountain that day, with the exception of one trail, Sasquatch. The baddest, steepest trail on the mountain, and it is pretty steep. My friend had never attempted this trail before, and he wasn't feeling it that day either, but as the day progressed, he skied for a while, and then he put on his snowboard. And when he put on his snowboard, I could tell, this guy had some skills. We went on another Black Diamond Trail, and he was fine. And so we get to the bottom, and I decided to put on a little bit of social pressure, subtle pressure, that went something like this. Dude, you have the skills to take on Sasquatch. I know you can do it. So before this day is over, we're hitting that trail. We are breaking through a barrier today. And that was subtle, right? He wasn't quite convinced, but he reluctantly agreed, and pretty soon we were staring over the edge of the cliff called Sasquatch. I'll tell you what happened later. My friend felt a lot of uncertainty about tackling Sasquatch with a board strapped to his feet. In our Bible passage, Joshua was feeling a lot of uncertainty. But the 2 scenarios are very different. They are very different because the big difference in my mind is I had to convince my friend that he had the skills to do it, to get down that trail successfully without dying, without testing his helmet. I knew he could do it. God had to convince Joshua, not that Joshua had what it took, but that God did. Would God really keep his word? Was God really stronger than those guys? And if you know Bible history at all, you know where we're at. You can think about what Joshua is facing. Moses is dead. The leader of God's people, the worker of miracles, the one who regularly spoke directly with God. He's gone. And sure, Joshua had been his sidekick for a while. seen everything firsthand, had a front row seat to all of it. But there's a big difference between being the sidekick and being the big cheese. It's a big difference. Joshua, he's looking across the river, looking into the promised land. And he'd been over there before, 40 years ago. He was a lot younger then. And he'd had the heart of a lion. Let's go, he said. We can do this. God gave it to us. Let's take it. But now, 40 years later, standing on the edge of the Jordan without Moses at his side, hesitation begins to squeeze his lion's heart. Is now really the time? Are we ready? How is this going to work? And that's when the Lord speaks to Joshua, just like he'd spoken to Moses. And essentially he says, it's time, Joshua. Now's the time. Get the people ready. I'm giving you the land. That promise I made to Abraham 500 years ago, you're going to watch me fulfill that promise right now. Joshua needs a couple things from God. He needs some help. Two things, really. He needs courage and direction. Joshua needs courage and direction. And that's exactly what God gives him in the verses that we read. I want to show you just kind of bit by bit going through. Where do you see courage? Where do you see direction? Because I see it throughout these verses. So let's just kind of look at them quickly, just one at a time. If you start in verse 3, God is speaking to Joshua. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, would you call that courage or direction? I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. Courage or direction? Courage. I think that's courage. Verse 4, he says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. Is that courage or direction? He's given the specifics of where he's going to go. This is the land. These are the borders. That's direction, right? It's all courage and direction. You're like, it's both. But really, more specifically, that one is direction. Verse 5, what does he say? No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Courage or direction? That's courage. Can you imagine a promise like that from God? Any video gamers here? You all of a sudden get like 30 seconds of invincibility and you can do whatever you want, right? This is what Joshua gets, but it's not a video game. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Your body will be flashing like in the video games, right? Oh my goodness. That's courage. And then the end of verse 5. Let's see. I'm missing my slides here. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Courage or direction? Courage, right? You getting it? You getting it? You seeing it there? He's just loading on the courage. And then God pivots his focus a little bit. He says, I'm giving you the land. Do it. Go. I'm with you. I'll give you everything you need. But then he pivots to a different kind of focus, and he says, you need to listen to me. You need to do what I say. This is going to be important. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Courage or direction? What? Direction, yeah. Obey everything. Here's what I've given you. This is going to be really important. Follow it. Do what I say. I've given you these promises, but you gotta follow what I say. So I'm thinking about Joshua. He's like, he's the guy in charge now. Moses is gone, but really, as you think about this, who's really in charge? It's not Joshua. Joshua's not the guy in charge. He's number two guy. God is leading this campaign. He's going to lead it directly all the way. Joshua is number two guy, simply following orders. And that's going to become more and more clear as the events unfold. Joshua is not the military leader, the genius of strategy. This is not Joshua, it's God. So God says, be strong and courageous. You're going to lead the people into the land, which Remember, that means driving out those people who are already there. That's intimidating. That's scary. That's going to take some serious courage. But then he says, be strong and very courageous. What does he say that about? When does he add very? What are they going to need more courage for than driving out these giants? He says, be very courageous to obey all the law that I've given you. That strikes me as a little bit odd. It's going to take more courage to follow God all of their days than to drive out this enemy force that's standing there. They are physically there. They're huge. They have massive cities with massive walls and all kinds of arsenal. He says, be very courageous to obey me. Does that strike you as odd? It did me. It appears that obeying God over the long haul is going to take more effort and more faith than this overwhelming task in front of them. And he kind of elaborates on it. He continues to make his point as he goes into verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Now think about this. Think about Joshua. If God is showing up and giving Joshua step-by-step verbal instructions, why is there such an emphasis that he knows God's word and obeys it? I mean, shouldn't God's verbal instructions be enough? I mean, I would think his verbal instructions would trump anything that's been written in the past. That's not the case. I'm telling you what to do. I'm going to give you military strategy. I'm going to tell you one step at a time. But you need to know the book of the law that Moses has written. This is important, and it's never not going to be important. You need to know this. God's direct instructions are not replacing his written word. And truth is, God's not always going to be talking into Joshua's ear. And when God's not doing that, it's going to be essential that God's word is written on his heart. You're the leader of my people. You better know what I say. The scripture God had given through Moses is intended to guide God's people through all time. This is timeless insight into God's relationship with his world and his people. There's instructions on how to worship God, how to get along with each other. There's so much wisdom in here. So when God's not giving play-by-play instructions to Joshua, they still have pretty clear guidance from God. This is how to live. Now, a little clarification on that verse 8, because it's always kind of struck me as funny. When it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. I've always kind of struggled with what that means. I don't know if you've ever given that passage some thought, but when I read that, it appears to be saying, don't talk about God's word. Have you ever seen that? Be like, don't let it depart from your mouth. Like, that's my first look at it, but that doesn't make any sense. So what's God telling Joshua? Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. He's not telling him to button his lip about it. That's not what he's saying. He's telling Joshua, really, never stop talking about it. Don't let it disappear from your mouth. And part of how they would memorize back then was to say it out loud. They would just say it again and again. And so this is encouragement to speak God's words to the point of memorizing it. Don't ever let God's word disappear from your mouth. You need to meditate on it constantly. You need to obey it completely. Everything, Joshua, no excuses, no exceptions. You got to know this book. Now you tell me, if that's what God says to Joshua, who has a direct line to God's mouth, direct instructions from God verbally on a regular basis, how much more important is it for us to know God's word, to meditate on it, to do what it says? That's why we make a big deal of God's word. This isn't just for Sundays. This is for all the days. Now Joshua, he's got a pretty important mission to accomplish. We go back and we look at what happened there, and Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? There's a lot that he did. He's just become the top leader of God's people, and their mission apart from God's help is absolutely impossible. So these instructions are pretty important for Joshua, but man, you and I have been given a mission too. we have a mission from God, which we cannot do without God's help. What's our mission? We're not going into Jericho. We're not going into the promised land. What's our mission? I'm just going to put it up as simply as I can up here. Our mission as God's people is to represent God in our world. We are representatives of God. God's given us a ministry of communicating God's truth in love to a world that has rejected truth and mutated love. That's not an easy mission. And if we want to represent God, we need to know God. If we want to represent him accurately, we've got to know him. And there's no shortcut for that. This is how we get to know him. How bad do you want to know God? How much time you spend in here might be an indicator of how bad you want to know God. That's why we're going through the Old Testament together. It's all important. Our mission is to represent God in our world. On the front of your program, it talks more about our mission. Our mission is to lead others to Jesus. We want them to know Jesus too. This isn't just for us. Our mission is to fully follow Jesus together, which means we follow Jesus in our worship right here. We follow Jesus in our work, in our family, in our recreation. We follow Jesus in our friendships, in our compassion. We follow Jesus. And when you know the culture we live in, the mission God's given us is pretty intimidating because our culture is nowhere near following Jesus. Does anybody in this room find it easy to speak up for what God says is true and right? You find that easy? Most people don't. Or to talk about your relationship with Jesus, somebody who doesn't claim to follow him, you find that easy? Any honest people here? It's hard. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one is the world says, you don't follow anybody. You do you. The world says, who's God to tell us what's right and wrong? There's a mighty current pushing us away from what God has called us to. There's a lot of pressure not to follow God. And we're supposed to represent him. We're supposed to lead people to him. If we're going to have any chance of success, we're going to need God's help. Just like Joshua. We can't do it without him. We're going to need his word branded into our hearts. We're going to need courage that comes only from God. If knowing God's word is such a front row priority for Joshua, it's got to be top priority for us too. What Joshua needed most from where he stands on the east side of the Jordan is direction and courage. That's what he needed. That's what God gave him. Isn't that what we need most too? Where we stand on this side of God's mission, don't we need direction and courage? Courage to move, direction to go the right way. There's people with courage without direction. There's people with direction without courage. We need both because we want to go the right way. Well, here's some good news. Direction and courage is what God's word is filled with. It's full of it. We have a treasure. We have what we need. This equips us to do the mission. So I want to break that down. I want to kind of step away from Joshua for a minute and just think about God's word as a whole. And I have this acrostic, which is helpful for some people. Maybe it'll help you, maybe not. But the acrostic is watch. Watch what God's word gives us. Watch. There's just five things that I want to put up on the screen. It's not the only thing God's word gives us, but these are big. God's word gives us wisdom, authority, truth, counsel, and hope. You think about those five things. That's significant. And I want to talk about each one. I want to start in the middle because I think truth is pretty central, pretty important to God's word. God's word is truth, right? It is truth. It's God's truth. It doesn't just, some people say God's word contains God's truth. No, this is God's truth. We don't get to pick that's not truth and that is, that isn't, that is. That means you're the source of truth. No, God's word is truth. It is God's truth, not man's truth. It's absolutely true. It never expires. And that is not what our culture believes anymore. Modern theory suggests we evolve beyond our archaic, God-dependent ways. And some humans are still stuck in that. They need to go to church. They need to pray to God. And they're weak. That is not reality. God's truth remains forever. This is truth, and we need it. And there are truths that have been attacked and pushed away. And I'm just going to, one example of God's truth that's been under attack by our culture for a really long time is the family. Major attack on the family. We don't evolve out of our need for family. Culture's trying to redefine it. God designed the family unit the way it's supposed to be from the beginning. It's a man and a woman. They get together. They have children. That's a family unit. God designed that. That's a good design. He said this is very good. And I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that would not be inciting anything. But if you say that today, what do you get? You get resistance. Family is what God made in the very beginning. It doesn't mean everybody needs to get married and have kids, but the family, as God designed it, is the best way to provide stability for children and a society. The erosion of family in our culture is not making us better. It's leaving us more broken and alone. It's not good. That's just one example of truth that we need from God's word. It's truth. It is truth. It doesn't just contain truth. And when we embrace all of God's word as truth, we get a foundation that gives us both direction and courage. And we desperately need both right now because our culture has drifted so far from God's truth. We need clarity on what's true and courage to stand on it because it's no longer what the majority believes. So we need truth. How about wisdom? Let's go back to the top. Wisdom. God's word gives wisdom. And you can go back to the Ten Commandments. You can go to the Proverbs. You can go to the letters to the churches in Revelation. There is so much wisdom in God's word. There's more than we could possibly absorb in a lifetime. And wisdom is kind of a big picture thing. It helps with direction in big picture ways. Not the specific, what job should I apply for? What person should I marry? Where should I move to? But big picture wisdom. This is going to help me make decisions. God's word gives us authority. This wisdom comes from God, our maker. There's a ton of advice out there, countless opinions, but this is coming from the highest source there is. It's right. There's no authority higher than God. Authority like that gives courage. I'm convinced of this. The more convinced you are, the more courage you're going to have. God's word gives us counsel. Life can be complicated. Any amens for that? Life ever complicated? Yeah. Okay, thank you. You're awake. Good. It's not always clear what we're supposed to do. God's word gives us counsel. It's not the same as wisdom. I think counsel, the way I'm using counsel, it's more specific. Specific counsel. What am I supposed to do? Example, if you're a believer, don't choose to marry an unbeliever. It may seem great at the time, but over time, it will prove a lot harder than you think. And I know multiple couples that have ignored God's counsel, and they have experienced pain. Counsel. If you have parents, honor them even when you don't agree with them. That's counsel. God says it'll go well with you if you do. Does that mean it'll go poorly if you don't? Maybe. If a temptation is enticing you, what's the counsel? Find a way to distance yourself from it. Run away from the temptation because we're all susceptible. I'm not invincible, and neither are you. So God's provided wisdom, big picture, counsel, specific things, and his wisdom covers just about any issue we'll face, either wisdom or counsel. He can guide us in it. God's counsel offers direction with some of the specifics. Last one, hope. This is important. Not only does God's word tell us what to do, how to approach life, it tells us how things are going to work out. It tells us where things are going. He's told us a lot about what's ahead for us. And he knows because he wrote it. He's also told us things like, I am with you. I am for you. You are my child. I love you. That's some significant support. This is hope. Earlier this week, I shared a song with a young woman who's struggling with deep depression. She's in a bad spot, a hard spot. And the song is called You Are More by 10th Avenue North. And it might be a little similar to the song we sing, Who You Say I Am. It's really about how God sees this hurting young woman who's made so many mistakes and been hurt in so many ways. How does God see that woman? It's a song of hope based on what God says and how he sees you, even in our brokenness. And so I'm going to share a couple of the lyrics of that song. My kids have this song memorized. The chorus says, you are more than the choices that you've made. You're more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Because this is not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. This is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to. This is not about what you feel, but what he felt to forgive you. And what he felt to make you loved. You've been remade. That is hope. That is biblical hope. Hope gives courage and joy in facing another day. So watch what God's word gives you. Wisdom, authority, truth, counsel, and hope. God's word is a treasure chest from God. If it were food, I'd be telling you to eat it. If it were money, I'd be telling you to spend it. If it were clothes, I'd be telling you to put it on. But it's a book, so I'm telling you to watch what's in it. Look inside. Now I'm going to give you a little test right now. Without looking down at the paper, let's see if as a group, our short-term memory can remember the five things that God's word gives us. What's W? Yes. What's A? T. C. H. Well done. Well done. We just did a little tiny work to get it into long-term memory, but it's not there yet. We're not going to do that today. You're going to have to do that. Guys, we need what's in this book. We need it. And from American history's perspective, we need it more now than ever. We desperately need the direction and courage we find in God's word. We need it, and you need it. So think about your own life. What do you need God's direction for? What do you need God's courage for? You got some uncertainty in your life? Got some changes? You're standing on the edge of something? Not sure what to do? Me, I'm in the middle of a book right now that's challenging me. And how I think about the world, how I approach things in our culture. And the book is talking about the history of the German church during the time of Hitler. And sadly, if you know anything about that history, it was a church that lacked the courage and direction to stand up to evil incarnate. The German church did not stand. There was a branch of it that did, led by a courageous man. But instead of standing up against this horrendous evil, like the gas chamber, they looked the other way, minded their own business so the government wouldn't shut them down. And we can look back on that and shake our heads. How could they do that? But the reason the author wrote the book is because he sees the American church doing the very same thing. We got to learn from history. Sometimes we mind our own business when we're not supposed to. Sometimes we're not speaking up when the voice of truth is desperately needed. And sometimes we're not making the difference God has put us here to make. So I'm reading this book. It's challenging my thinking. And pastors like me in a rapidly changing culture, we need a lot of direction and courage. We don't always know what to do. Where do we take a stand? What do we let go as a secondary issue? How do we stand and when? In what way are we supposed to do it? Do we limit our voice to the inside these walls? Are we supposed to speak in our communities too? How's that supposed to go? So I was intrigued when I heard about this book. I'm not done with it yet, so I'm holding my conclusions. Because if you know my personality, I tend to walk out into the street and then look both ways. I'm trying not to do that. But I'm reading it because I may be guilty of what the author is talking about. The book is called Letter to the American Church, written by Eric Metaxas. And the reason it caught my attention is because he writes biographies. He knows history. And he's written several biographies that I've read. And some of that, just men and women who changed the world. He wrote a solid one on Martin Luther. He wrote about William Wilberforce, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Mother Teresa. He's written a lot of biographies. And I think about these people, and I've read their biographies. I've been challenged and encouraged. Luther, he stands against religious corruption and superficial Christianity. Changed the world. Wilberforce stands up against the slave trade in Europe. What if he hadn't? Bonhoeffer vocally and practically resisted Hitler's evil agenda. He died doing it. Mother Teresa gave her entire life to serving the poorest of the poor in India, offering them dignity in their death, and in her humility, she attracted the attention of the entire planet. Are there things happening in our culture right now that God would want his church to stand for or against? I think there are. I heard a rumor, and this is a rumor. I think it was debunked, but the rumor was that California was enacting a law that would allow mothers to terminate the life of their child up to 7 days after birth. That was the rumor I heard. I was like, what? Now, I looked into it, and I don't think California has gone that far yet. But in my research, I found something else that was disturbing. And this, thankfully, it's not in our country. This is a government website from the Netherlands. And the headline in bold, euthanasia and newborn infants. And under that it says, children are occasionally born with such serious disorders that termination of life is regarded as the best option. Are you serious? Termination of life is the best option. Not in our country, please. We have to stand. Because it's coming. It's coming. What are we supposed to stand for? And how? We need a lot of wisdom about that. We need courage and we need direction. Because there are right and wrong ways to do it. We often see the wrong ways. And we think we shouldn't do it anyways. It might not be the right answer. God intends for his people to live courageous lives that honor his name, to be people who speak the truth in love and are willing to take risks in God's name for the good of others. That's what we're called to be. Would that be an accurate description of us? Is that who we are right now? If it's not, the good news is God's not done with us. We can become that. When I detoured from that skiing story earlier, my friend was standing on the brink of certain bodily damage. Would he take the plunge into the mouth of Sasquatch? And he did, courageously. I'm not even going to look over the edge. I'm just going to do it. That's what he said. And with minimal hesitation, he makes his descent. And I watch him. He's carving turns. He carved two solid turns on his snowboard. Then his board went out from under him, and he slid the rest of the way down the hill on his rear end. But as he's sliding down the hill, he calls back up to me, "We're doing this again." And by his third try, he made it top to bottom on his board. He conquered Sasquatch. And my friend, with his permission, he's here today to verify this story. His name is Mike. You might know him. The nation of Israel, by the power of God, would conquer and claim the promised land. They responded to God's word. They acted with courage, followed the direction, and they are now Israel. By the power of God, you and I can make a difference right here. We can't do it by ourselves, but we can do it with him. So we need to do that individually, and we need to do that as a whole. So think individually, what uncertainties are you facing where you need direction and courage from God? And don't do what I might tend to do and just plunge wildly into the chasm and hope God catches you. Let God's word be your guide. If he's challenging you to do something, let him show you how. And if you don't know how to do that, ask somebody to help you. What does God's word say about this thing I don't know what to do? He doesn't always say this is the exact decision, but he gives us wisdom to make a good one. And I would suggest that, kind of like my friend, God's church is standing at the edge of a cliff. Our culture is moving further and further from what God calls wisdom and truth, further and further from recognizing God as having any kind of authority. Will we join our culture as many churches have done? Like the church in Germany did. There are a lot of churches today who've made the culture their standard of right and wrong. Wave the flag. We are the culture. You fit here. That's one option. We can join our culture and abandon God. Another option is to be silent and follow God. Let's just keep it to ourselves. Not offer the alternative to the world, what the world is saying regarding things like truth, sexuality, gender, the value of life, God's role in our world, all these things that are in our culture today. We can just follow him silently. But there's a third option, and that's to stand, to let a voice speak. Give the undecided a second opinion. Don't let there just be one voice, and challenge the opposing view. We don't need to be ashamed of what we believe. We don't need to hide. God's word is truth, and everybody needs it. The way we go about sharing it, that requires a lot of wisdom. And that's why I'm still reading the book and still processing, and I welcome your processing too, because I don't want to run out into the road and then look both ways. We want to be wise. Give us direction and courage. In his book, Metaxas says this: what price are we willing to pay to do the right thing? And my question is, how do we even know what is the right thing? Well, he gives kind of a broad wisdom summary. The right thing is to love unreservedly, which is God's call to us. And that is to risk everything, our lives and our reputation. To love unreservedly is to risk everything for the sake of someone else. So God is challenging me, my thinking right now. I don't have conclusions yet, but I'm sharing them as we go. He's using that book to challenge me and make me think about how I approach social issues, political issues, moral issues. There's a lot of voices saying, don't get political, don't talk about that stuff. But what if God actually has more in mind for us to do than what we're doing right now? What if we're being quiet when he wants us to speak? Does that make you nervous? It should, probably a little bit. Should make you pray. For me, for our leadership team, for our church, for our community. God has wisdom for us, and he has a plan. We're not followers of Eric Metaxas. We're not. We're followers of Jesus. So we got to look to God for wisdom. We want to be the church he made us to be. We need his direction. We need courage. So let's pray for that. God, there's a lot of things that we don't have clarity about what we're supposed to do. There are a lot of changes in our world. There are a lot of challenges in our lives. A lot of things that stir up fear and uncertainty. But God, your word is solid. And you have come. You've made your home in us. You said, I want you to represent me. Give us courage. Give us direction. God, Joshua was in one place. We're in a different place. And as our world continues to change and drift further from you, give us courage to believe you when so many don't. And give us clear direction to follow you in a way that will please and honor you most. God, we don't want to bring shame to your name. We want to bring honor to your name. So, Father, equip us for that noble work. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you a minute to think about process. What's God calling you to do in the things we've talked about today? And maybe there's a next step for you to consider. Let's take a minute to do that. There's courage in the presence of God, my friends. Let's rise together and sing Fearless.
the crashing waves. No fear when the cost is great. No fear in the midnight hour. You've given me a spirit of power.
No fear in the crashing waves. No fear when the cost is great. No fear in the midnight hour. You've given me a spirit of power. No fear in the crashing waves. No fear when the cost is great. No fear in the midnight hour. You've given me a spirit of power. No fear in the crashing waves. No fear when the cost is great. No fear in the midnight hour. You've given me a spirit of power.
God, we want to be fearless, wise, and fearless through your power. God, I think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and a man with insight that could see evil and had the courage to stand up against it. God, help us to see evil, to stand up against it for the good of others. God, for your name. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us direction. God, you know how we need it. You know how each of us needs it. You know how your church needs it. So God, we look to you. We look to you like Joshua looked to you, like Joshua depended on you. God, we can't do it without you. But with you, there's nothing we can't do. We're unstoppable. Whatever you want us to do, God, we can. We can. Impossible things are possible when that's what you want, that's what you have. So give us courage and wisdom to follow you wherever you lead. God, thank you for this truth that we sang today, that in our weakness, you're strongest. God, glorify your name in our weakness. Move us where you want us to go. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you.
Good morning. First up on announcements in your bulletin this week, there's an announcement about a ladies' night coming up on February 17th. It'll be at my house, hosted by Aaron and me, but it was Aaron's idea. So we are going to have a soup and salad is the thought for the meal. You can bring something to contribute or just your appetite. Either one is fine. 6 o'clock at my house on the 17th, and you can talk to Aaron or I for more info, and I'll get to a slide, but I forgot to make one for that. And then next, I don't know if you know, but the Eagles are going to be in the Super Bowl after they win the game today against the 49ers. So to celebrate that, the big game. I just said it, though. See, you're not supposed to say. Okay. It's so stupid. So the Super Bowl is next Sunday, and we're going to have a big game party in words written on the screen at Rick and Phyllis's. They always host a party on Sunday, the Super Bowl Sunday. So 6 o'clock at their house. They have a great finished basement, lots of space. Bring yourself, bring a snack, bring a friend. It's always a good time. There's table tennis, ping pong, and lots of fun. So if you don't prefer to watch a Super Bowl, that's okay, too. There's space for you to hang out and chat and play games or do other things, too. So we'll hope you'll join for that. That's on the 12th, 2 weeks from today. And that's all I have for you. Downstairs, there's snacks and fellowship if you'd like to hang out and have a snack. Have a good week.